Okay, today is Wednesday, March 1st, third day of the month of Adar. This is the women's Chumash here. We're in the middle of Bereshit, Perek Yud Gimel. Okay, Rabotai, I'd like to dedicate today's shir to Suri Kamenetsky's mother, whose yahrzeit was last week, Rosa Bas Rav Yosef Yehuda and Mendel. I knew Suri's mother well, very special person, and we hope that our learning will be le'ilui nishmata. It's one thing that she's guaranteed. She looks at her, forget about her children, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and I'm sure she's shepping enormous nachas, that's for sure. Because so many of them make enormous contributions to Jewish education and for the future of Am Yisrael. Okay, we are up to, in the middle of Perek Yud Gimel, the little quarrel that seems to be developing between Lot, initially between Ro'eh Lot and Ro'eh Avraham, and then it spills over to to Avram and Lot himself. So we're going to read a couple of psukim, and then see a very powerful alshich that has nothing to do with this particular text, but he uses this text as a guideline for conflicts, not only between two shepherds, but conflicts in general, and how one might resolve it. So we are up to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Actually, Pasuk Chet. So we'll get started with Zayin. It starts off in Zion, Vayhi Riv Bein Ro'eh Miknei Avram, Ubein Ro'eh Miknei Lot, V'haknani V'haprizi Oz Yoshev Ba'aretz. There was a conflict between the shepherds of Lot, shepherds of Avram, and we already commented several perspectives as to why the text tells us V'haknani V'haprizi Oz Yoshev Ba'aretz. Why the prizi was added? Previously it only said the Haknani Az Ba'aretz, and why it says Yoshev. However, I want to show you something on this word itself, on the word Yoshev, the Haknani Yoshev Ba'aretz. So if you will take a look at your handout for a second. Yes, it's page 2. This is the Alshich on our Parsha. Page 2. Sorry that the pages are separate. The machine doesn't listen to you. I told it to staple it. It didn't staple it. So, for all of the sophisticated grammarians in the room, so it doesn't include me. If you identify two nations, the Haknani, the Haprizi, as what should have been the next verb? Yoshvim. Yoshvim Ba'aretz. It's the plural. Why does it say Yoshev Ba'aretz in the singular form? So the Alshech has a very interesting observation. And he writes, Ve'al derech hapshat, Nasim Lev El Omro Yoshev. From a simple shot perspective, I'd like to analyze why it says the word Yoshev as opposed to Yoshvim. Umeharaui Yomar Yoshvim. Based on simple grammar, it should say Yoshvim. And it's interesting, but it's obvious why the Alshech begins his remark by saying, I want to look at it al derech hapshat. Because that's not normally his style. The Alshech is very much into Drush. He's extremely influenced by Kabbalistic literature. He quotes the Zohar a lot. So here he says, I want to forget about everything. I'm not into Medrash right now. I'm not looking to be a Zohar. I want to know very simple Hebrew, why does it say the word Yoshev? Va'od nashit leiv, elomrot chila, lashon riv, va'achakach lashon miriva. Why is it that the Torah initially tells us in Pasuk Zion, which we just read, Vayehi Riv Bein Ro'e Miknei Avram Bein Miknei Lot. Then, in Pasuk Chet, which we'll read in a second, we might as well read it right now. Pasuk Chet, Vayomer Avram Elot, Al Na Tehi Meriva. Doesn't say Al Tehi Riv. They're similar words. Riv and Meriva usually mean quarrel. For example, in Parshat Mishpatim, we read it last week, so you couldn't have forgotten it yet. Ki yeh riv bein anashim. If there was a quarrel amongst two people, so what are you supposed to do? Bring it to Beis Din. That's what you're supposed to do. Miriva is called me miriva. The quarreling waters. When Am Yisrael were at in Parshat Chukat, it's called Mei Meriva. When God speaks to Moshe, tells him to speak to the rock, and he strikes it instead, that episode is identified as Mei Meriva. So he wants to know what might be the difference between Riv and Meriva. They are similar. But often, you should always know this, whenever there are Shemot Nirdafot, phrases, nouns, verbs that appear to be similar, there's got to be a subtle difference, because otherwise, why would the Torah use two separate words?
Unclus translates both of them the same.
What?
Unclus.
Okay, so sometimes he might not have thought something, but let's see what Al-Sheikh suggests. V'achakach lashon meriva ke'omro al natihi meriva ve'od omro. Furthermore, in Pasuk Chet, Avram says, let there not be a quarrel between me and you, and between my shepherds and your shepherds. He asks, Ki halo bein haro'im kvar haita. When you see a situation, and you would like to see that it does not spread, so what happened initially? Avram is told by his shepherds that he's not getting along with Ro'e Lot. Now he knows what might be the result of that quarrel. It might spill over to what?
To a personal
quarrel between Lot and Avram. So Avram is making a plea with Lot. Al na tehi miriva beini ubeinecha. Let's not this ferment into a debate, into a quarrel between me and you. But what do you mean, let it not develop into a quarrel between my shepherds and your shepherds? It already happened already. So why is he emphasizing as well, in addition to beini ubeinecha, why is Avram adding bein ro'ai ubein re'echa if that has already been documented and taken place? Not the most compelling question in the world, but he wants to answer it. Yes?
Couldn't Riv be a quarrel over a specific incident, and Meriva be an atmosphere of dissension?
That's possible.
That would take into account the relationship between the shepherds and between...
That is a very good suggestion. And in fact, it works out well in the context of Mei Meriva.
Right.
Mei Meriva wasn't just the water. It's just the attitude of Bnei Yisrael that they're complaining about everything in the Midbar. Yes?
Could it be that it's personal? He wants to make sure that it doesn't spill over into his relationship with Lot.
Yes, that's his opening phrase. Al tehi miriva beini ubeinecha. He's talking to his nephew, Lot. Yeah.
Also, even though the shepherds started it, once it affects their bosses, it becomes even worse with the shepherds.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I hear.
What is the question?
The question is, why does he... The phrase seems to indicate, I know that there is a situation, I don't want it to escalate. So who might it escalate between? between Avram and Lot. So let's do something now to preclude that escalation. But why does he add between my shepherds and your shepherds? That already took place. So what we do now is not going to prevent escalation. The quarrel already exists. So let's see what he says. The ode, a fourth question, Omro Anoshim. His Avram's argument is at the end of Pasuk Chet, Ki Anashim Anachnu Anachnu Anashim Anachnu Achim Anachnu. Asks Alshech, what does the word Anashim add here? Seemingly nothing. Because the argument is, why do I want to preclude any escalation? Ki achim anachnu. What do you mean, anashim? We're men, we're people, well, what does that add? That's a good question. Well, what exactly is that contributing to our understanding of Avram's suggestion to Lot? Could have said, ki achim anachnu, and that's it. Because we are brothers. Says, ki haya lo lomar, ki achim anachnu. Ach, Yomar, now here is his suggestion. Oy lemi shitzarich lilmod min hagoyim. Woe is unto us who have to learn how to behave from the Gentile community. Vze mikal vachomer. Kihine shnei amemin knaani uprizi. Two major nations currently occupying the land, and one would have expected, like any time else, there's got to be some quarrel between the Prizi and the Kanani. But what happened? V'lo hayariv b'nehem. They got along perfectly well. Large segments of people, not just two people, two families. These are two major groups residing in the same area. V'zehu omro yoshev b'lashon yachid. You know why he selected the singular? Because they got along with one another, as happens when you indicate some degree of unity. Some degree of unity. And that phrase, that idea, is found quite frequently in the Chumash. If you remember 2 weeks ago's Parsha, Parshat Yitro, so Moshe says that what? That that they were sitting at Har Sinai, and the exact phrase that he used was... correct, that's Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar. Vayichan Yisrael, in the singular. Now you're dealing with several million people, it should have been Vayachanu, as the Torah uses that expression 55 times in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshat Shlach, as well as Parshat Maaseh. Vayisu Mikan Vayachanu Sham. 55 times the Torah does the same thing. And yet here it says Vayichan. So everybody's familiar with Rashi's quip, right? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. There's some degree of unity of purpose at that time. Says the Yalshech, you want to indicate there was a degree of unity, healthy respect for one another between the Kanani and the Prizi. Lashon Yochanan, Kehayu Be'achdut V'Shalom. Al Kain Nit'orer Avram V'Amar Al Na Tehi Miriva Ki Anashim Achim Anachnu. We shouldn't be any worse than these common people. They're not relatives. They're not brothers. There's not father and nephew. There's not uncle and nephew. You have all kinds of different people. So our reaction should be no less than those plain Anashim. Why should it even be more intensified that we are looking to Because we're not just anashim, we're achim. Achim anachnu. So that's part of the plea. V'lama nigara mishtei umot she'enam achim. Why should we conduct ourselves in a fashion which is far worse than the Prizi and the Kanani who are not related to one another? V'ein riv b'neihem. There is no source of quarrel between them. V'nihiyeh lavuz b'neihem. What does that mean? We're going to be humiliated in their eyes. Fashemt, exactly. All they're going to be talking about is these two lousy families can't get together and identify adequate land for grazing for their respective cattle. And here, two mighty nations can somehow get along with one another. Vishir hakasuv vayehi riv vahine haknani az yoshev ba'achtut. Al kain vayomer Avram ki anashim anachim achim anachnu. Mikol shekein shiraui yihyeh shalom beinenu yoter mishtei umot ha'elu. Should be much more so than these nations. So that gives a different spin on why it says v'haknani v'haprizi yoshev ba'aretz. It's not just in a legal context, the way we saw most parshanim before, that Lot thought that because God had promised the land to Avram that it was already his, and as a result all of the land was available for his cattle grazing. It was a mistake because the Kanani and the Prizi are still the current owners of the land. Hence, Lot's lack of attentiveness is gezel, was outright theft. And therefore it also says Yoshev, and why Anashim? So it's a very interesting insight that the Al-Shuch provides for us. I should add that the halacha of gezel akum, theft from a Gentile, is asur midoraita, biblically prohibited. So when the Torah writes in Parshat Kiddushin, lo tignovu, that you are not permitted to steal, or lo tignov in the Aseret HaDibrot, which does not mean stealing assets, but it means kidnapping a human being, applies of a Jew against a Jew, as well as to a Gentile as well. Gezel akum is prohibited. I know that we are sometimes attacked for somehow playing favorites in monetary issues with a Gentile. For example, ta'ut akum. You go to Glad Express and he gives you $2 too much change, you're obligated to give it back to him. If you go to Rockland's and he gives you $1 extra change, al pidin, you're allowed to keep it, but because it's not gezel, because he gave it to you, but there is the greatest mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, is to take out the dollar and say, you gave me too much change. And Chazal recognized that, and it's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. I can't explain why Ta'ut Akum doesn't apply. I can't explain that, but at least Gezel Akum is as prohibited as Gezel from a Jew, and therefore Avram reacts under those circumstances. Yeah. Now the... Yeah, one second... Okay, if you were to take now for a second, I want to read another pasuk. Let's read pasuk tet. Avram is still speaking. Hello, kol haaretz lifanecha. The whole land is available. Hipared na me'olai. please separate. Im hasmol, if you choose to go left, ve'emina, I'll go to the right. Vim hayamin, if you choose to go to the right, ve'asmi'ila, I will go to the left. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi chet and then tet. Anashim achim. Now, in theory, they were not brothers. Avram and Lot are not brothers. They're related. And that's what Rashi says in his opening comment. Krovim doesn't mean necessarily brothers. It means they're related. One is an uncle, the other one's the nephew. But then, as he usually does, says Rashi, Umidrash Agada domin beklaster panim. That Lot and Avram looked remarkably similar. Looked remarkably similar. Now, this is a type of a remark that Rashi makes 50 times in Chumash. Does it very often. But he usually does so when he has a purpose. When there is something bothering Rashi. So if you will take a flip for a second to Parshat Toldot.
When Yitzchak.
That's correct. Beginning of Parshat Toldot. Correct. So the Torah tells us, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holidit Yitzchak. So every Parshan is troubled with the exact same question. The pasuk itself is repetitive. If it says ve'ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham, these are the descendants of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Obviously, Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak because it says Yitzchak ben Avraham. The second phrase, Avraham holidit Yitzchak, is totally worthless. So Rashi cites the midrash and says because there were jokesters, late Sanei Hador, who had a claim that Me'avi Melech Nit Abra Sarah, that Avraham had not fathered Yitzchak, but rather Avimelech, with whom Sarah was taken, even though nothing happened, nobody knew nothing happened, and claimed that Avimelech was Yitzchak's father. So in order to remove that element of doubt, that stupidity, the Torah says, Avraham holidit Yitzchak. Domer klaster panim shel Yitzchak li Avraham. God fashioned image of Yitzchak unto Avraham. They looked exactly, you couldn't make such a mistake. Very nice. So at least I know what was bothering Rashi to what? To make the comment. That they looked exact because somebody was discounting or claiming that Avraham was not the father. The Rav once commented on that Rashi, something beautiful. And he said, I don't understand the whole Medrash that Rashi's concerned with. Do you think today, if the Torah were written tomorrow morning, and there's somebody who's a clown, and he makes a comment about some episode in the Torah. You think we're going to have to react to every clown who makes an idiotic statement? Because there are late Sanei Hador. You know what late Sanei Hador are? Bocce ball players. You know what a bocce ball player is?
Yes.
We remember that on 39th Street. Bocce ball players. Underneath the L. Those guys, mostly Italians. Nothing wrong with Italians, but had nothing to do all day. They were unemployed or something. And they played bocce ball underneath the L all day. That's what late Sanei Hador are. So some bocce ball player is going to make him, Avraham wasn't the father. So the Torah is going to respond by three extra words, Avraham holidit Yitzchak, to remove the doubt that these bocce ball players were claiming. Secondly, asked the Rav, why was it so unbelievable that Avraham was Yitzchak's father? No. Abraham had plenty of children.
Because it took so many.
He already.
Sarah did.
So, exactly. So if anybody was going to challenge the paternal, the identity of who the of who Yitzchak was, I would challenge. Sarah was not the mother. She had never had a child. But Avram had Hagar. Avram had had Yishmael from Hagar. And then you look at the end of the parasha in things, he had Keturah and he had 8 more children at a much later age. So there doesn't seem to be any problem with Avram having a child. So what's this? Me'avi melech nisabra sarah? Who said that Avraham had a child? Why shouldn't he have had a child? So the Rav explained, and he said that the challenge of these late Sonei Hador had nothing to do with biological parenthood. They knew darn well that Avram was capable of having a child. As evidence, he already had children and he was going to have plenty of more. What they were challenging was that Yitzchak would never follow in the lifestyle of weirdo Avraham. Don't forget, everybody at that time is into idolatry. Avraham discovers a new way of thinking, a new way of belief, and all of those people started saying, we don't have to worry about Avraham. He's an old man, he's going to die, and all of his themes and ideology will go to the grave together with him. Because Yitzchak's a young whippersnapper, and young whippersnappers, they think on their own, like we all know our own children. They got their own ideas, and they're not necessarily interested in buying into our system. Answers the Medrash. That type of ridicule is important. It's important to the Torah. Because the Torah wants to demonstrate that it is possible for a child to necessarily follow in the footsteps of their parent. It is not impossible. It's a difficult challenge, but it is not impossible. After all, who did Yitzchak hear about the Akedah from, which we will learn at the end of Parshas Vayera? He heard it from his father. There was no communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yitzchak. So if God would speak to you and to me, and you were convinced it was the Ribono Shel Olam, I really believe that every one of us would sacrifice our child. As difficult as it would be, if we convinced that it was the Ribono Shel Olam talking to us, we might be perplexed and puzzled, but ultimately we'll follow through. Yitzchak didn't hear it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He heard it from Pop. And he could have said, Pop, are you crazy? I'm going to have myself sacrificed?
You didn't tell him so quickly.
What? Okay, so when he told him, Yitzchak could have said, I'm out of here. You can get your own. Go get your other Seh Li'ola. I'm not going to be the Seh Li'ola this time around. So that is important for us. How does the Midrash communicate to us that Yitzchak accepted the values of his father Avraham? Tsar klaster panav dom eli Avraham. It doesn't necessarily mean that he looked like Avraham, but whatever was running through Avraham's mind is now adopted by Yitzchak. And therefore, once again, for the grammarians within our august body, it should have said Avraham yolad et Yitzchak. That's simple Hebrew for gave birth. What does holid mean?
Caused the birth.
Exact. So what do you mean caused the birth? It means it caused his development, his personality. The person that Yitzchak ultimately became was shaped and molded by Avraham. So there, that's what Rashi is reacting to those Litzanei Hador. Here, what's the need to come up with a medrash and say, Avraham and Lot looked alike? What's wrong with the pshat? Which is the simple pshat. We're achim, we're relatives. That's all. Very simple. We're relatives. So I don't have a good answer, because there doesn't seem to be anything prompting a comment that would, you know, necessitate such a response. But I will suggest something. I will suggest something. And we touched upon this 2 weeks ago. Can you describe the change that has undergone, that Lot has undergone, from the first time that we have met Mr. Lot at the end of Parshas Noach and beginning of Lech Lecha until this very point? Can anybody, without the text saying a word, tell me, based on this episode, what's going to happen? Tell me what Avram is trying to say by claiming that we look alike, and I don't only mean look alike, but we think alike. Tell me what transformation seems to be taking place within Lot.
He doesn't think like Avram anymore.
That is correct. That is correct.
Avram's losing him.
At the beginning of their encounter, there was nothing compelling Lot, the son of Haran, to travel with Avram. What does he need it for?
He was rich.
Apparently, okay, we don't know the extent of Avram's wealth before the power. He had something, there's no doubt. It says he had Rachashu Asher Rachashu. They had something. But what apparently attracted him was his thinking. Can you imagine you're traveling along with Avram, and what do you got to do? Listen to him. Every day is a speech. He's getting up on a bima, on a mizbeach, and preaching. Preaching. Now you have to have some, got to be simpati to that idea to want to live that type of lifestyle. That type of lifestyle. They'd have get up and daven, put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin in addition to Rashi's tefillin. You know, that's an enormous challenge. Suddenly we see that Lot is drifting away. So Avram's comment, and what prompts Rashi to say it is, Avram is offering one last request. Not just, let's not have any fights, my nephew Lot. What do I really want to do? I want to establish that relationship that had existed a couple of years ago when we left Haran. I want you to start thinking like I do. I want you to be sensitive to other people's rights. How can you just allow your shepherds to graze in other people's fields? And furthermore, what ultimately clinches it in our mind that Lot has had it completely with Avram? Eretz Mitzrayim. And where is he exactly headed? What city?
Stone.
He's headed to Stone.
Which is the opposite of
Avram. Not, and here is what I want to sharpen your point. There is a very big difference between somebody who can recognize good and evil. But you don't have to be Einstein to recognize the difference in good and evil. You know what makes a really righteous person? Is somebody who doesn't only witness an injustice and say, yeah, that's wrong, but you do something about it. That's a much greater challenge. Much greater challenge. Here, Lot is about to go into the city, which the Torah itself, I don't need a medrash, will say, Ra'im v'chata'im l'ashem ma'od. A wicked people. Wicked people. So not only Lot might be able to recognize the difference between a good, honest, decent person and a wicked person, but one thing he's now thrown away. What? I am not here to react to injustice. If they are going to go ahead and pass decrees that hachnasat orchim is prohibited against the law, and I grew up in what type of a household? Type of household. Which hachnasat orchim was the very raison d'etre of Avram's life. I don't care anymore. I'm not here to change society. I'm here to change the world. I want to live my own life. So it is very possible that when Rashi uses that imagery of klaster panim dome, it is for a reason. It's Avram's last plea. My nephew Lot, I want to remain with you, and I want you to be able to be a carrier of what I believe as a force for justice, of tzedek and mishpat. And unfortunately, he doesn't. So the way we are introduced to this sensitivity, to the fact that it is bothering Avram to no end, Rashi says, it's not just that they were krovim, that's the simple pshat, but they had tzor klaster pneihem. Lot and Avram were once upon a time very remarkably similar in their thought, in their, not just in their appearance, but the... And now he's drifting, and it's eating away at Avram. Yes.
I don't know. I just feel like Lot was a tremendous opportunist, and Avram just, because of his love for his family, didn't see it.
He didn't see that what?
That all Lot was an opportunist. He followed okay. the next best thing. He followed Avram because that was the best thing he could follow.
Okay.
Got rich and.
Okay, I hear. That's possible. I hear. Yeah. Yes.
I would like to support what you presented now from another Semitic language. The word ach is the same in Arabic, ach, except that in Arabic there are two plurals to the word ach. One of them is ikhwa, which means brothers, blood, biological brothers, and the other one is ikhwan, which means achim lede'a, the similar. That's why the achim of Muslimin are called, use the word ikhwan. They have the same ideology, the same philosophy. It's interesting that here he's not saying ki achim anachnu, ki hem lo achim, they're not brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But anashim achim, where they have the same achim lede'ah.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. There's no doubt that that's what the pasuk also means. Shevet achim gam yachad. Doesn't mean that we're all brothers. But it means... Right. Correct. Very good. I like that. Yes.
I just want to say something of the word anashim.
Go so right ahead.
When it's clear that the child won't be exactly following the father's footsteps, when you're still making an effort not to be alienated, so you might say, anashim achima, we can now be two independent adults and still be affiliated.
Very nice.
But if that won't work, we'll have to separate.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes?
Where were... right now, they left him trying, they're coming back. So where were Avraham's sheep grazing? It wasn't his land either.
I know. So he would walk around looking for, as Rashi had said earlier, hefker, for land that was not owned, on a mountain someplace. That's what he would do. Find it much more difficult to obtain grazing land. No doubt. Yeah. Then I would like you to look at page 3 for a moment. This comment, which is also from the Al-Sheikh, is commenting on the fact, trying to highlight one of the incredible qualities of Avraham. And let's start where I bracketed, ki mi shehu ish af kasher. This is his commentary on Sefer Mishlei. Mi shehu ish Ach kashe mechavero, v'noach lichos mimenu. If you have a person who has a much harsher personality, and he finds it very easy to get angry with other people, right? We say about a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's kashe lichos v'noach lirtzot. That's what we hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be. It'll be difficult to be angry with us, and very easy to appease us. But when you have a person who is not noach lirtzot, but noach lichos, lo yomar al na tihi meriva beini ubeinecha, such a person is not interested in extending an invitation, let's not have any fights. V'im yesh beinenu din divarim, you know what you do when you have a fight? Yachdav lamishpat nikrava. What do? You go to court and you settle. And you settle the decision. Hopefully you win. B'divrei shalom ve'emet. V'hazakai b'dino yizkeh. And the guy who wins, he's going to win. He's going to be delighted. V'hachayav, and the guilty party, yikabel alav, is going to be compelled to what? Accept the decision. That's the way most people resolve disputes. And there's no more truth to it in our day and age. We are the most litigious people in the world. Everybody's suing everybody in court. That was not Avram's way. What was Avram's way? Before you go to court, what do you try to do? Let's resolve it. Let's maintain our friendship. Let's see if we can discuss this and come to a resolve. Please open up to Perek Yud Chet of Sefer Shmot. We read it 2 weeks ago. The Bar Mitzvah boy landed very nicely. The parsha which Yitzro suggested to Moshe. As you well know, in chapter 18, after all the ceremony and the big fancy meal takes place at Shlishi, at Sheni of Parshat Yitro, Vahimi Macharat, Vayeshev Moshe Lishpot et Ha'am, Vayamod Ha'am al Moshe min Haboker ad Ha'arev. So Yisro says, you know, you're never going to survive. But Moshe Rabbeinu has a response. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't take it sitting that even though ultimately he accepts father-in-law's recommendation, he says, you know why people are coming to me? Why? Ki yem lahem davar ba'elai. Vishafatati bein ish ubein re'ehu. Says the Malbim. Here Moshe is identifying the ultimate reason for a judge. In most societies, the function of a judge is to resolve the issue, not the conflict. The issue. I claim you owe me $1,000. You claim you owe me nothing. The role of the judge is to collect evidence and so on and so forth. A dayan of Am Yisrael, its goal is not to resolve the issue, but to resolve the conflict between the two people. Vishafatati bein ish ubein re'ehu. So the Rav interpreted this mam in the following fashion, and much more about this unit. He said, normally what happens in court when you sue somebody for $100,000, and the other guy claims, I owe you nothing, and the guy wins. What is your attitude going to be to the other litigant?
He's a loser.
What?
He's the loser.
He's the loser?
The guy who lost is the loser.
He's the loser. And what's your feeling going to be to the victor?
Anger.
Hate. Animosity. He just cost me $100,000. And I'm convinced that I'm innocent. But that's not the judge's department. Judge is here to say, you owe him $100,000. Pay up, otherwise you go to jail. The objective of a dayan is to restore the relationship that existed before the conflict. Shaharei, these are the words of the Malbim. Shaharei nisharim re'im le'achar hamishpat. V'shafatati bein ish u'bein re'eh. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, have a different viewpoint as to what my role is as a judge. My role is not to just settle issues, but I want to maintain a relationship between the two of us, between the two people. And that's exactly what Avram is pleading for here as well. Most people, says the Alshech, when they have a conflict, what's happening? We're off the court. Don't bother me anymore. I got nothing to talk to you about. That's not what Avram wants. Al na tehi riva beiniu beinecha. Let's try to resolve this as if there had never been a dispute between us, and we can maintain our relationship. Our relationship. And to highlight this even further, the Rav once said, Muncie Park Hotel, 1972, midwinter vacation, there were 18 inches of snow. I drove the Rav that time. We almost weren't going to go, but he said, we'll go. Take a look at Rashi's comment on Vahimi Macharat. At the beginning of this unit. Vahimi Macharat. That's the Midrash. Ibn Ezra says, what does Vahimi Macharat mean? The day after Yisro arrived. We are told at the beginning of the Parsha, Yisro came with Moshe's wife Zipporah, their two children, Gershom and Eliezer, and then they had a meal. Vahimi Macharat. The next day, Moshe goes back to work. And he starts saying, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it with Motzo'ei Yom Kippur. That's when he started. And Rashi spends 20 lines trying to prove that it had to be Motzo'ei Yom Kippur. There was not one day available for Moshe to judge before Yom Kippur. Why? Because after we came out of Mitzrayim, there's no Torah yet. So what's the judge about? There's nothing happening yet. So on the sixth day of the month of Sivan, or fifth day or seventh day, depends on the Machlokes and the Gemara, when the Torah was given, Moshe got the Torah. How long did he spend in Har Sinai learning the rest of the Torah? 40 days. What month and day of the month was that 40th day? It was Shavuos HaBetamos. Moshe comes down and he sees they're worshipping the Ego. So what does he do? He smashes the Luchos. Then, no. First he spends 40 days talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleading, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I want you to clean up this mess. And he calls for all of Shevet Levi, Hirgu Ish Et Achiv. Kill anybody who was guilty of Avodah Zarah for whom there were two witnesses. 3,000 people were killed that day. That's in the Chumash, in Parshas Kisisa. Then what does Moshe do on Rosh Chodesh Elul? Goes back for another 40 days. And he's praying not just for a reprieve, that you don't destroy them as HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened, but I want Mechila, Slich, and Kapara. Good. 40 days end on Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. Yom Kippur. First Yom Kippur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I forgive you. Right? Salachti kidvarecha. Beautiful. So the first day that Moshe has an opportunity to engage as a judge is Yud Aleph Tishrei. That's why Rashi says it was Motzei Yom Kippur. The Rav once suggested there's a much more thematic connection between judgment and Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur. We say throughout our davening that as we approach the judge, it is impossible to defend ourselves. Ki lo yitzdak lifanecha kol chai. No living person can what? Defend themselves in the presence, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That phrase is over and over again in our slichot, in the piyutim. It's impossible to judge. Ki lo yitzdak lifanecha kol chai. Ha'enosh me'eloha yitzdak. Can man ultimately defend himself in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After all, God was the first warner wolf. You don't even know who Warner Wolf is. You know who Warner Wolf is.
Let's go to the
videotape. Warner Wolf was a sportscaster, and that's the way you say it. Let's go to the videotape. I'm not going to talk about it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He asks you, what did you do on the third day of the month Adar at 1:25? And you say, I haven't got a clue. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to the videotape and sees that you were talking Lashon Hara about me. That's what he sees. And he's got the whole life on your videotape. So how can anybody judge themselves in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So on the one hand, what should be the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu every year on Yom Kippur? Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. As Shlomo says, Ki ein tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yecheta. There is no righteous person who hasn't sinned. If that would be the case, there would be no survival. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He sees some good in each and every one of us. He sees the good side. Yes, you've got plenty of aveirot, transgressions, but he sees there's some potential. He sees a couple of good things that you've done. In order for Moshe to become a judge, he had to live through that first Yom Kippur experience. Because otherwise, Moshe, what's Moshe's motto in judgment? What phrase does the Gemara use about Moshe? Yikov hadin et ahar. Let the law pierce the mountain. Don't give me nonsense stories. I'm not here for chachmas. I'm not my brother Aaron who says, bring me the gold. You're guilty as charged. End of discussion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to teach him that there is a human side to every person. And that everybody has an element of good as well. And therefore I have to have a balancing act. So why is it that Moshe could not sit, engage in judgment before Yom Kippur? Because he would have made a lousy judge. A lousy judge. But when he saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Am Yisrael, guilty of treason, idolatry, but Am Kshei Oref, they're a stubborn people, and they're going to be stubborn about some good things as well. They will never abandon their commitment to being a Rachaman, to be a compassionate. Oh, now Moshe knows how to be a judge. That's why Vayhimi Macharas Vayeshev Moshe Lishpat Asam Matzoya Makipurim Haya. But what is Moshe's now? What does Moshe do when he finally has the capacity to be a judge? What was Moshe's argument at Chet Egel? What did he say? We read it every Ta'anit. No. Lomo yechere abcha be'amecha asher hotseita otah me'eretz Mitzrayim bekoach gadol v'yad chazaka. You know what that argument says? Rabbeinu Shalom, it's all your fault. Because who brought them into Mitzrayim in the first place? You did. So sure, you took them out of Mitzrayim, but you put them in Mitzrayim and you exposed them to an idolatrous type of life. Don't blame them. Moshe becomes the great defender of Am Yisrael. And ultimately, what is Moshe's real request? Real request. Take the phrase Vishafatati Be'ish Ubein Re'eh, as I just told you the name of the Malbim, and use that as the imagery between what's Moshe's request from himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu suggest after the Chet Ha'Egel? Hine anochi what? Right, that was one thing. What did Moshe say? Mecheini misifrecha. Then what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Hine anochi sholeach malachi lefanach. I'm not traveling with you. I'm afraid what's going to happen. I'm sending an angel. And what does Moshe say? Yelech na Hashem bekirbeinu.
Yourself.
Rabbeinu Shalom. That's not the way you taught me to be a judge. You taught me to be a judge. V'shafatati be'ishu be'mayayim. So they are guilty, but you traveled with us till now, and I want you to travel with us now again. Kiyam k'she'orifu. That's what we say. Yelech na Hashem b'kibbeh. Kiyam k'she'orifu. Because they're going to be obstinate and be loyal to very good things that you like. Yeah, they're going to sin. There's no doubt about it. So Avram here is trying to avoid that which typically takes place in a court scene. In a court scene. They're going to go to Beis Din and they're going to say, hey, what are your arguments, Royal? And then what's going to happen? They're going to hate each other for the rest of their life. Let's resolve this and remain anashim anachnu. Let's remain brothers. Yes.
Why Avram was walking out of Mitzrayim with all the kush, like with the things that he got.
Yes.
And if you look at the pasuk chapa, Yitzavalov Anashim, he sends Anashim to, you know, to take them out.
Dignitaries, yes.
And the point is that if he can leave Mitzrayim that way, and they're not taking away the goods that they gave him. In other words, there's some hope of having some kind of relationship after this debacle, then
certainly we can be anashim too. Very nice.
Very,
took
him away.
Very nice. Very nice. Rabotai, we'll stop here.
Wait, so
what? There is a machloikus.
Between.
That is correct. Yeah, there is some say who Yisro arrived much later, not before Mamet Har Sinai, and the pasuk in Parshas Baalotcha supports it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. I like
you people, we know the calculation. Look,
yeah.
Before we thought we just finished the time, but Yom HaDin, Lumat, Yom Kippur.
Right.
So we don't have to. If we just have Yom HaDin, we're all in trouble. Okay. Mix that with
the right? You're welcome. I'm trying to. I'm trying to.
Glad you're back. How are you feeling?
Thank God. Thank God.
Thank you.